Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. We are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy hour lined up. In 15 minutes, we'll take you inside our pizzeria. The tip jar is open. Pizza money bets that pay off with some pretty damn long odds at that time. Pro better Paul Stone on the program in 30 minutes. He will preview the AAC in college football today with four best bets there. And we'll get into Major League Baseball here in a second. To finish off the previous hour, we were talking about a prop that we like, or I like. I think there's a path here where that could come in at DraftKings. They're offering a bunch of Cooper Flagg specials, one of which is, will he average 18-plus points per game? And will they win the Southwest Division? It's 35-1, thanks to Jim on X. 41 games, the minimum there for Flagg to participate in the season.
Important to read the fine print, Mitch.
For sure. And in 45 minutes, I'll give you some of that list, by the way, of rookies to average at least 18 points their first season in the NBA. It's long, by the way. I did not think it was going to be that long. So if they can do it, I think that guy can do it.
Is it dozens of names?
20-plus.
Oh.
Yeah. So close to dozens.
Yes, close.
Yeah. Here's what happened in baseball that I talked about right before the break. He did it again. Shohei Ohtani with another home run. Solo shot at Coors, making number 28 on the year. And they lead the Rockies by a score of 3-1. Look, all I can do is tip my cap to Clayton Kershaw. At Coors Field today, middle of the summer, 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned, 5 Ks, and that's all she wrote. He pitched 69 pitches is what he threw. Get him in, get him out, turn it over the bullpen. And Gomber wasn't awful for the Rockies. 5 innings, 1 earned, that was it.
That's his second start back, right, Gomber?
Third, I think, third? Overall. Okay. Yep. And now the Dodgers to win the game are -1720. They were as low as -165. That's when Gomber got out of it, top of the fifth. They were going to the bottom of the fifth, and Kershaw was coming out to take the bump. Tied at one apiece.
Well, 2 strikeouts in a row for Palencia with first and second and nobody out. So the Cubs are 1 out away from shutting out the Cardinals 3-0. Our 4th shutout of the day. However, Cardinals are also 1 swing away from tying the game.
They are. That in-play number right now, well, +2.5 runs with the Cardinals move from -141 to +387 right now, DraftKings.
Yeah. It was. It went from the +180, and then it went to +140, and then it went to +190, and then off the board at Caesars. So you got it live still at DraftKings.
Yep. And the Marlins now against the Giants, they are tied up at 5 apiece. Marlins got out to a 5-0 start in this game, and this is Junk. That's literally his name against Birdsong. And Rafael Devers with a shot for the Giants. He now is 17 on the year. He's got 2 RBIs in this game, and that's part of the reason why the Giants now came back to tie it up. And they now on the run line, Mike, in the fifth, -1.5 runs. They're +163 to win the game outright. These numbers are changing all the time.
What's the what is the total? 14.5?
14.5 right now, yep.
Juice to the under?
Slightly to the under, okay. Yep, -123.
All right.
But again, if you go back to last night's game, that went 10 innings. Oh. The Giants used 5 different relievers. Rodgers gave up 2 runs. Doval did not have a good appearance. 2/3 of an inning, gave up 4 runs. 3 of them were earned.
Who was the kid that was trying to close for the Marlins? I never even heard of him.
Was it Phillips?
No.
Foucher?
Foucher, who blows it in the ninth but gets the win because the Marlins come back and score all the runs in the top of the 10th.
And they used 4 relievers yeah. last night. So would you be intrigued by saying...
Over. The over.
The pen might be a little bit taxed out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can also win if you get to 7-7.
This is very true. But we had, again, not to spend the entire show on this today, but I found it very interesting that, again, yesterday, 7 teams were shut out, tied for the second most in a single day of all time. Today, 4 games have, 4 games are in the books. The Guardians, the A's, and the Royals have all been blanked. The Phillies were lucky to get one. It came late when Hunter Brown was pulled out of the game. They got one in the 8th. Otherwise, they would have been shut out for the 3rd straight game. And if the Cardinals don't get one here, that's going to be yet another team to get blanked today. The Seattle and the Minnesota game should be starting at some point, I thought, soon. And the Mets and the Braves play a little bit later on tonight.
Number four, Cubs shut out, strikeout, struck out the side. Cubs shut out the Cardinals, 3-0.
So 11 in 2 days, and so far five games are done. Four teams have been shut out.
Mm-hmm. The big run scorer was the Phillies one.
How would a round robin be right now if you're putting together these teams to get zero runs on the day? You said last night the Marlins were like plus 460 to get shut out by Logan Webb? No runs conceded, I think, until the ninth, or through the ninth.
Yeah, Giants no runs through nine, allow no runs through nine. I think that was 7-1. Wasn't it plus 750 or something?
I thought
that
it was way lower than that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, yeah. By the way,
I know his quality start, which he had six innings and three earned or less, was minus 750. I remember
that's
that.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. The Twins game is I think that's 4:30 Central Time when the Twins game will start then tonight. So 5:30 on the East Coast, 2:30 out here. That's coming up at the bottom of this hour anyway.
That's a long rain delay on a getaway Thursday.
I would. Yeah. That's not going to do either team favors whatsoever.
Where are they playing tomorrow? Let's see here. Seattle is in Texas.
That's supposed
and the Twins
to be,
go to Detroit tomorrow.
Well, tomorrow is a hell of a pitching matchup, by the way, between the Rangers and the Mariners. It's Logan Gilbert versus Nathan Eovaldi. That's superb. Let me get that Twins matchup for you in Detroit. And it looks like neither team, no starters announced as of right now.
Yeah, Sunday night game, Twins at Tigers, is going to be Paddock Skubal.
What do you make Skubal in that matchup?
Yeah, Paddock's been pretty good.
He's overall, the season has been all right.
185, 190?
Be higher than that.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah. Just, hey, you don't like this Twins team. You're giving them some respect there.
I mean, Skubal just gave up four runs to the A's. I mean, something may be desperately wrong. His fastball velocity is down in three straight starts.
That's right.
You have to admit that.
Oh, yeah, that's something there, maybe. You do have a bet on the Mets-Braves game coming up a little bit later on tonight.
Yeah, I laid 105 with the Mets. I think, what's it at, 112 right now?
In that range,
it's just a canning over homes matchup, and I think maybe the Mets break out of this funk a little bit here. As you pointed out, Soto's still hitting the ball well for them, and they don't strike out a lot. Now 113, it ticked up 1 point since we talked last hour. That's it for me today. Well, there's only one game.
That's it.
I mean, I had my action early. Gausman pitched a heck of a game today.
Yeah, he did.
I was very impressed. That's his best game of the year.
Did you take the Blue Jays?
I did not.
Yeah, because the Guardians, that line moved in Cleveland's favor like 30-plus cents.
I split the game. I bet the first five under 3.5, and then in game after two innings, I bet the first five under 2.5, and of course I got three in the third, so I won the pre-flop and lost the end game.
Gotcha. Okay. Some numbers for this game coming up a little bit later on tonight with the Braves and the Mets. Ronald Acuna's last 7 days, he's 9-for-25. Again, if you want to get involved on maybe some total base props, hits, runs, plus RBIs props as well, maybe a stolen base prop. He has scored 10 runs in the last 7 days, 19 runs in the last 2 weeks, four home runs overall, by the way, in the last 15 days. So he's been blazing hot and officially here. Juan Soto's last 7 days, 8-for-23, five home runs, two of them last night, eight RBIs and six runs scored. And another player who has been rather hot at the dish is Brandon Nimmo. Last 15 days, 18-of-53. That's a .340 average. With five home runs, eight RBIs, two stolen bases, and eight runs scored there. Are you diving into more props?
Pitching. I get into the pitching. I don't have the time to figure out where I'm looking at the hitting. I just don't. I can pour through the pitchers and look at advanced stats and spend 2 hours and do that. If I had to try to do that for a hitter, I would have to find one of your sources like you have here on the K-Prop. For like a total base prop or something like that, if I were to get involved with the hitting stats.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not putting together a model for baseball, right, for pretty much anything that's going to predict like box scores and everything overall, I've said this over and over again, you could spend so many hours every single day handicapping the entire baseball card that you're going to drive yourself insane. If you just go to, well, if you're going to be looking at stuff on VSiN and like our new partnership here with Ballpark Pal and like Fangraphs Baseball Reference, it's endless. And that's also when I think you're going to confuse yourself with some of this stuff.
There's more statistics and analysis in baseball than they have at NASA, I think.
Pretty much.
But Jensen Lewis made a point this morning about sometimes it's paralysis by overanalysis in baseball now. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and Visa. And all you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes this trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 31st at $200 value. And then you can pay the other $175 to go all the way through Super Bowl. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion and is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to request to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply.
You made a comment earlier. It's like all or nothing in Major League Baseball. We have 9 games on the slate today, 8-day games.
But this last week you had 1-day game.
That's right. I know.
Mean, Manfred, split it up a little bit. Can't you just tier them out?
I would think that would be, you know, it's called getaway day for a reason. You might want to have a little bit more, but
I'd push more on Wednesday and have a few night games for teams that don't have to travel on Thursdays.
The tip jar is open. We'll break bread inside Mitch and Pauly's Pizzeria up next. Pizza money on bets with long odds. I added one today at higher than 30-1.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Hungry for a winner? Sometimes all you need is a slice.
You make this pizza?
We swap pepperoni for parlays and give you alternate lines instead of anchovies.
I'm telling you, this pizza idea is really gonna happen.
From our kitchen to your wallet, sweat with us and throw some pizza money on it.
Double meatball, pepperoni, sausage, peppers, onions, extra mozzarella.
Welcome to Mitch and Pauly's Pizzeria.
And Mitch and Pauly's Pizzeria Tip Jar is sponsored by Mama's Pizza. Mama's Pizza, the only place where your pizza money always gets you a win. Check them out at mamaspizzas.net. This is what I added this morning. We talked about it yesterday. I felt kind of obligated because I did like it on the air. Chopped around today, and I found the Rays to win the American League East and the Brewers to win the NL Central at plus 3150. Pizza money.
Did a nice job shopping. I looked at it yesterday afternoon just at two books. One was about 25-1 and one was a little over 26. So you got a nice price.
Okay. I think you like the Brewers more. I know that.
I do, but this Rays team is continuing to impress me.
I think I like the Rays side of it more because I'm a believer in the Cubs. I think much more than what you are, especially when they got Imanaga back today.
He pitched well.
Yes. So, okay, that's my pizza money play today.
I'm going to take the Brewers to win it all in the National League to get to the World Series at 25-1. And they might not necessarily have to win the division to do that, right? They can qualify as a wild card. I think I can isolate them with the Dodgers. And I hope that matchup would be later rather than sooner in the playoffs. But I think they may be the two best teams here. I think the team is very well managed. I'm not sure if adding a big stick, a power hitter, is absolutely what that team needs. I do know they need another arm. I mentioned Cal Quantrill, who you could get for a song probably right now. But this is an under-the-radar team. And even if you make the playoffs at 25-1, you can lock in a profit. Get them to the final series, and you can lock in about 40% of that profit.
Now, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment with this, because it's far too soon to say that they're going to have the edge at starting pitcher anytime Jacob Mizorowski takes the mound. Too soon to say that. But with this, the way that this kid is dealing and the way that he looks three starts into his big league career, eventually he's not going to be overwhelmed by anybody else on the mound, I don't think.
And your guy, Freddy Peralta, has been decent this year, too.
Pretty solid this
year. Deeper into games than he had been the last couple of years. I asked Jensen Lewis this morning on VSiN by the books, without a third pitch, how long will it take Major League Baseball teams to figure out Jacob Mazeroski. He said he's probably going to be good for another 6 weeks. But if he doesn't develop a third pitch, it's going to be problematic moving forward from that point.
Very good question. Yeah. Okay, we move on. And we're going to break bread now. Strolling inside the pizzeria, plays that you submitted, FTM at vsin.com or on X at VSin Live. This is from Weston. How about Ranger Suarez to win the National League Cy Young at 200-1? One bad start. That was the first one after he came back. And ever since then, it's littered with like really, really good numbers.
Yeah. He's got some people in his way, including guys on his own team that are, I always wonder if we talked about this a little bit with the Framber year when Verlander won it with such a dominant year with Houston, but do having too many guys off the same team hurt in the voting? Wheeler will get votes. He does every year, right? I think Wheeler has finished in the top five or six times.
That feels about right.
In the Cy Young voting. He'll be there at the end. You've got to overcome Skeens, although that's a good day for the rest of the field yesterday when Skeen gives up four earned.
Sure.
Hadn't done that before. Suarez has been very quiet, but been a very, very good pitcher all year. I used to call him five and dive, Ranger.
I remember.
He'd give you five innings and he'd allow one run. No longer the case. You're getting seven out of them. 200-1 is not an unfair price.
All right, very good. I think you're going to like this one very much. Russell in North Carolina. Broncos versus the Rams in the Super Bowl.
It would be an extension of my thoughts on both these teams that I'm high on. And I did bet the Rams for the Super Bowl. I haven't bet the Broncos. I've only bet them over their win total of 9.5. But 150-1... obviously, the Rams' price has come down from when we bet it during the Stafford talk, trade talk days. My one qualm is that the 49ers' schedule probably forces the Rams to do it as a wild card.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Although, you know, they went on the road last year and played well enough to beat the Eagles in Philadelphia in that blizzard. So it's certainly an interesting ticket at 150-1, and you get them both into the divisional round of the playoffs, you can have some fun.
This is from John in New York. So one of these already has been a winner. That's Scottie Scheffler to win the Memorial, tied into the Bills to win the Super Bowl at 41-1.
Very nice, because now the Bills have been bet down to 6-1, 6.5-1 in many books. So you could come to Circa and bet the no price and lock up a winner right now.
Yeah, or you can wait until they're the one seed. And probably bet the no at that point. But that's, you know, parlaying this stuff can really pay off if it hits. Mm-hmm. That's the tough part, though, is when you parlay golfers to win outright, that's not exactly easy to do. So in a situation like this, you're getting a ticket now at 6-1, and he has it at 41-1.
I parlayed about something this morning. It was two in-game plays, but the longer shot won and the favorite lost.
Is that right?
Of course it did, right?
Yeah, all right. That's the way it goes, huh? More kind of exact is here, or Quinella's Rams versus the Bills, 50-1. See, I don't hate that one at all. I might add that one, or I might add, just because I have the Rams at 30-1 to win it all, I might be betting other teams over them. The Bills over the Rams might be an approach that I take.
When you look at the AFC, do you think the Bills are clearly the best team?
Well, I think their path to get the one seed is much better than a lot of the other teams in that conference.
So KC might have to come to Buffalo for an AFC title game.
Yeah. Which they'll probably go there and win if that's the case.
Did in the divisional round.
Yeah, right.
A couple years ago.
They don't beat Buffalo in the regular season, but they beat them every time in the playoffs. This is from Chris Cobb. Okay. Dallas Cowboys versus Cincinnati Bengals. Super Bowl finalists, 300-1.
Probably missing a zero.
Yeah, I can't get there with anything with the Cowboys. Not this year. Kyle in Tennessee. Dodgers to win the National League. Bills to win the AFC. Penn State to win the Big Ten. Houston to win the college basketball tournament next year, 437-1. See, here's what I like that he did. He's not betting the first two teams to win the whole thing. I'm a much bigger fan of betting just the conferences or the leagues they play in. Right, like he did here with the Dodgers and the Bills.
He also has an opportunity because the Dodgers will get decided first. Penn State will get decided second.
Yeah.
Then he's got time, if you get those two legs in, to maneuver with the Bills towards the AFC. So, to me, the hurdle is James Franklin. But
probably. I mean, he's going to have to overcome Ohio State, obviously, number one. and then just like past results as well. Although on paper, they're going to be what, number one in the country to start?
Yeah. I think Oregon will be decent again as well.
And Houston's going to be absolutely loaded again next year in college basketball. But this is from Robert. Bills to go undefeated in the regular season, 70-1. Well, he likes the path more than I do, even.
So you could have a tie there because you got the undefeated. They don't have to go 17-0. But it's 70-1.
We'll go rapid fire here. Rich in Canada, division winners: Tigers, Rays, Astros, Cubs, Mets, Dodgers, 20-1. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Yay. This is from Andrew on X. Division winners: Tampa Bay, Milwaukee, and Detroit, 36-1.
I love that one. I love it because that's two of ours.
Sure.
And add the obvious Detroit.
That's right. Took a bad beat last night. Mama's Pizza has your back, feeding hungry Texans since 1968. They've won so many Best Pizza awards that they've stopped counting after a few thousand. Mama's delivers the crust that beats the spread every time, fresh ingredients, award-winning pies, and a flavor that's a guaranteed winner. And when it comes to pizza money, don't waste it on bad bets. Put it where it counts on a hot slice from Mama's. Franchise opportunities are also available if you're thinking long-term value. Check them out at mamaspizzas.net. Mama's Pizza's the only pick that always covers. To go back to that long one from Rich in Canada, Tigers, absolutely, I like that, to win the AL Central, tied into the Rays, to beat out the Yankees, probably the Blue Jays in the East. The Astros, sure. The Cubs goes against our Brewers bet.
But you like the Cubs, you said?
I know I do, but I'm on the opposite side there. I bet the Brewers. But I think the Mets might be the trickiest one on there.
They're definitely the trickiest one on there. But that's a toss-up to me between the Phillies and the Mets. I have the Phillies at plus 210 from before the year, just because they were the highest of the three prices between the Braves, the Mets, and the Phillies.
Ah.
I said, I'll take the longest one in this. And then it kind of isolated with the Braves' slow start. By the way, we talked about over 14.5. Miami with three in the top of the fifth, so we're 8-5, bottom five.
Yeah. Birdsong did not have it today. The Giants' offense clicking as well. And both bullpens kind of taxed after last night and even the day before, actually. So that bet did make some sense, trending that way right now. Up next, professional sports bettor Paul Stone on the program. We will preview the AAC in college football. We're doing this on a weekly basis now with Mr. Stone. He has a handful of best bets, win totals, and outright in a game of the year. Find out what he likes next here on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome in. We're live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. In 15 minutes, I'll tell you about a bet that I like with Cooper Flagg, and I'm going to run down some of those names, by the way, of rookies to average at least 18 points. I was blown away. I thought the list was going to be like 5-6 guys, way more than that. So here we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Professional sports bettor Paul Stone joins the program. Paul, good afternoon. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Man, doing well, guys. Good to be with you, and always good to see Mike Palm. As you know, the pride of Dubuque, Iowa, so good to be with you and Mike today.
Paul, I came out of the studio yesterday, a nice-looking couple in their early to mid-40s, said they're staying at the Cosmo, but they Ubered down so they could meet me, and I tried to find out what's the connection. It's just that they're from Dubuque.
See, there you go. They know you and they love you. They ought to give you the key to the city or something. I don't know.
That's called Midwestern Nice, right? As
it really
we experienced,
is.
We went back to Omaha a couple of weeks back. All right, Paul, let's get into the AAC and your approach, your best bets to that conference this year. We'll start with the win total that you like. It's UTSA. I want to go back briefly here and touch on what they did last year. They were 4-4 in league play, 7-6 overall, including the bowl game. They went 6-0 at home and 0-6 on the road, which is funky. So do you want to go over or under 7.5 wins this year?
Yeah, I'll tell you, first of all, you know, my numbers are usually going to be quite close to the posted number, Mitch. But I actually made Texas San Antonio's total 8, juiced to the over at -1.25. And I'll tell you, the reason for the discrepancy, in my opinion, is the fact that my numbers right now, and I make numbers on basically all the regular season games, in their 12 regular season games, I have 5 of those games currently lined at 5 or fewer points. So they have a large percentage of games They could go either way. But I just like this Texas San Antonio team. First of all, offense has certainly been head coach Jeff Traeger's calling card during his five previous seasons there in San Antonio. This year should be no different. They return a lot of proven experience there on the offensive side of the ball. Their offense certainly going to have to carry the day. If you look at some of these preseason publications, one preseason magazine shows UTSA with 11 returning offensive starters, zero returning defensive starters. So they're going to be relying heavy on that offense. They return their quarterback. It'll be his second year as starter, left-handed Owen McCowan, the son of former NFL quarterback Josh McCowan. They return their top three starter, top three rushers. They return eight of their top nine pass catchers, and they also return seven different offensive linemen who have started at least nine games in a single season. So they got a lot of depth on that offensive line. They've averaged 31.9 points per game in each of the past four seasons. I think this is the AAC's best offense. I think they're going to be good for 35 points per game about on average. Just really like this team. They get both Tulane and Army at home. So that's certainly an advantage and certainly part of the process of handicapping these regular season win totals. I think this is an 8-4 team or better. I like Texas San Antonio to go over 7.5 regular season wins.
On the opposite side of the spectrum, you mentioned Tulane. That number at 8.5 under minus $1.14 at FanDuel. They finished second last year behind Army with only one loss in the conference, 9-5 overall, and outscored their opponents by over 200 points. But you're looking to fade the Green Wave.
Yeah, this is a Tulane team, Mike, that in each of the three previous regular seasons, they won nine games or more. But I think it's not going to happen this year, and it's because of significant personnel losses on the offensive side of the football, especially at the skill positions. Last year, this offense, man, it was prolific. Tulane averaged 35 points per game. But you look at those losses. First of all, you start with quarterback Darian Mensah, who transfers to Duke, goes into the portal, and leaves for Durham. Their two-time first-team All-AAC running back, Mekhi Hughes, he gained almost a total of 2,800 yards in his first two seasons in New Orleans. He's off to Oregon. Their top three receivers, and not all these guys left through the portal, but their top three receivers are all gone. 126 catches last year, 2,100 yards, 12 touchdowns, so a lot of production there. And that production doesn't even include tight end Alex Bauman. He's a guy who caught seven touchdown passes last year. He transferred to Miami, Florida in the offseason. And then their offensive line, they lost three guys who started at least three seasons. So they lost a three-year starter, what I would call a three-and-a-half-year starter, and a four-year starter. Those guys all gone up front. So they're just not the same offense that they were last year. They're going to slip quite a bit, probably at least 10 points from that 35-point-per-game average. You look at their schedule, they're going to be a 6.5-point favorite, or currently are a 6.5-point favorite against Northwestern at home in their season opener. The next week they go to South Alabama. I think they'll be favored about 6.5 there. Then they host Duke in week three. I think they're going to be favored by a field goal or less against Duke. And then in week four, they go to Ole Miss, a game they're likely to lose. I think Tulane loses probably at least two non-conference games. During the conference schedule, they have back-to-back road games against UTSA and Memphis, got a home game against Army, all three of those games around midseason. I think 8-4, John Summerall is a great coach. 8-4 would be a great showing, I think, for Tulane, considering the offensive losses. Give me Tulane under 8.5 regular season wins.
All right, great analysis as always. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Paul Stone, professional sports bettor, and he is on the Progressive guest line to win the league outright. We're going to go back to the team that you talked about to open up the segment here. You think UTSA is worth a bet?
I do. You know, First of all, you need to shop around these prices.
Yes.
I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but shop around, man. These prices can vary wildly. Be sure you're getting in the best price. And also be sure you know what you're betting on. I mean, you're betting on who's going to win the conference championship game, not who has the best regular season record in conference play. in the American Athletic Conference specifically, which we're looking at this week, it doesn't include divisions. So the two teams meeting in the conference championship game are going to be the two teams with the best regular season conference record. You know, last week I expressed my opinion that the transfer portal, I think they opened the door for non-favorites in these non-power four leagues to perhaps contend for conference titles. So outside of the first two or three teams, I think the door is a little more wide open for teams beyond those teams to perhaps challenge for the conference title. And the reason is when these Power Five schools, when they need to fortify their roster, when they need to get some depth or they need to find some starters, they're going to oftentimes go to the group of five schools. And when they look at those group of five schools, they're going to look at the best players on the best teams. Tulane's a great case in point. They got rated by the Power Five. So I think it just kind of compacts the league a little bit, if you will. It narrows the gap between the best team and the teams in the middle. So that's why I'm kind of looking at UTSA here, I am looking at UTSA. They're a team that's, picked about fourth in the league. You look at the quarterback situation at the top four finishers last year. First of all, league champion Army, they lose a pretty good quarterback, a bulldog of a guy, Bryson Daly, rushed for 1,659 yards last year, 32 rushing touchdowns. He's out of eligibility. The second place team, Tulane, we've already mentioned that Mensah has transferred to Duke. The team that tied for third, Memphis, they lose a four-year starting quarterback in Seth Hennigan, so they lose a big-time quarterback. The only team in the top four with a returning quarterback is Navy, and they've got Blake Harvath back, a really good quarterback who closed the regular season and bowl season strong last year, rushed for 1,246 yards, led Navy to victories over Army, the regular season finale, and then Oklahoma in the bowl. Thought about Navy, but I like this plus 700 price at BetGM a little bit better on UTSA. They host both Tulane and Army, as I think I previously mentioned. They avoid Memphis in the conference schedule, and I like this UTSA team plus 700 at BetGM, MGM, to win the AAC.
Very good. About a minute left here. Game of the year. Navy against Army, December 13th. What did you do with it?
Yeah, you can find this game -2.5, -115 there at FanDuel, and it's -3 at DraftKings, a traditional -110. But Army, they lose their do-everything quarterback again in Bryson Daly, again, over 1,600 rushing yards, passed for over 1,000. That's a lot of production. He's gone to graduation. They were expected to have two guys back, though, that hit the transfer portal. So they lose their best returning offensive player, running back Kanye Udo, to Arizona State. He rushed for over 1,100 yards last season. They lose their best defender and linebacker, Elo Madozi. He goes to Georgia, 8 tackles for a loss, 6.5 sacks. So they lose a lot of top-shelf talent. Navy's got about everybody back. They've got Harvath back. They're much better at the quarterback position. I just like this Navy team. I think they're going to be favored by more than 2.5 points come December 13th. I like the middies -2.5 over Army.
Dynamite, as always, follow him on X at Paul Stone Sports. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, guys.
Up next, a 35-1 shot on Cooper Flagg that isn't that far-fetched.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Coming up at the top of the hour, in 15 minutes, I think this award is far from over. Do you concur with Mike Palm filling in for the vacationing Paulie Howard this week? So NBA draft first round went down last night, but it felt to me like even though there's only five minutes in between picks, did that not take forever?
I couldn't watch the coverage. I had to turn it off. I actually put on an MLS game and was just watched on my phone to see as the picks came in.
I was watching it with Sebastian, who is now 14 months old. I was watching the coverage here on Beeson with Humans and...
I could have done that.
And Murray. Until Sebastian basically told me, look, Dad, enough's enough. He said it without saying it.
It was too slow for him.
Oh, he needs to be preoccupied at this rate with stuff. But here's the thing. If it's too much going on TV or wherever it might be, then it's going to be too much of a distraction as well. He's got a wheelhouse that he's in. So... And he's at that stage right now where once he finds something, and it could be the most random thing of all time in the house that he likes doing, and I stop him from doing it, I mean, he just loses it every single time. Are you aware of this face?
That's a little young for that.
I think the kid's a little advanced.
Might be.
Yeah.
That's more like the threes.
Is that the
People
threes?
People say terrible twos. With my kids, the twos weren't that bad. It's when they got to the end of the twos and the threes where they become very, very angry about not getting their way.
People have told me that. Yeah. It's more about terrible threes and
yes.
twos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how year one and beyond was so peachy for everybody. Because as I just described, I'm like, if this is one and it's called terrible twos and threes, like, what is it going to look like?
You'll be all right, Mitch.
Yeah.
You'll be. Enjoy these moments.
No, he does. He's a great kid. He's an awesome kid. Okay, so with the draft in the first round going down last night, like it did, books immediately put out numbers to win the Rookie of the Year award, right? And Cooper Flagg is minus $2. More on that coming up at the top of the hour and Do You Concur. But DraftKings also has an entire page dedicated to Cooper Flagg bets. For example, I'll run some of these down for you. Flag to average 18 plus points per game along with 6 plus rebounds per game. He's got to hit both those numbers. The yes is plus 285.
That's a minimum 41 games.
Yeah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that? Is that doable?
Well, how does that – I mean, how many rookies average 18 points a game, Mitch?
Well, okay, I'll run that down in a second here. Flag to average 15 plus points per game and the Mavericks to win the Western Conference is 28-1.
Bridge too far for me.
Yeah, I can't get on that one.
It's what is it?
28-1.
Okay. I don't think the price is high enough on the Mavs for that. For
no,
that
neither do I.
Right.
I wouldn't bet them at 28-1 just to win
right.
that. Here's one that I can see happening. It's Flag to average 18 plus points per game and the Mavericks to win the Southwest Division. Now, there's going to be a lot of steam here, and there has since the trade happened, and the Rockets acquired Kevin Durant, but they have to beat out the Rockets. Spurs are going to be very good, potentially, right? But I think there's a path here where that team can win the division. Yeah?
Yes. I'm not sold that the Rockets are suddenly the second best team in the West.
Oh, I mean, I think that the market right now, plus 750 to win the title is absolutely lunacy.
I'm a big fan of Udoka. I really am.
So am I.
And I think that he may have gotten a tough deal with the Celtics. But they signed him now. They extended his contract.
Right.
And they gave him Durant. So they think that's the move that's going to put him over the top. I don't think at this point in his career, especially as being a malcontent, that he's going to lead them to a title.
But that leg of the two-team parlay, I think, is going to be the most difficult. Forget about the Grizzlies. They can be better than the Grizzlies any day of the week. They're certainly better than the Pelicans, the other two teams in that division.
Pelicans, sir.
Trash. Okay, but they have to beat out the Spurs then and the Rockets. Like, that's not going to be easy, but they can do it.
Do you feel the Spurs are going to be a team that could win 50 games?
Well, I think their ceiling, if they stay healthy,
yeah.
is pretty high.
Okay.
But here's the part that I think is absolutely achievable. And I have the list right now of rookies to average at least 18 points per game. And you want me to go back?
I'd like you to start as far back as your list goes.
I can go back to 1995, 1996.
This is sort of a remember when show if you look at our guests here. I mean, was Bruce Marshall not available? This is Vison's answer to the Golden Girls today. Bogdanovich, Stone, and Uncle Lou. Mitch, you're the youngest guy associated with the show.
Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah. As an
Very
aside.
Very true.
As an aside.
Okay, so here's stop me whenever you want me to.
95, you're saying.
Jerry Stackhouse averaged 19.2 points per game for Philadelphia.
I believe it.
I remember I played a lot with Jerry Stackhouse on that old NBA game on Sega Genesis. I liked the Sixers with him as the high draft pick. Sharif Abdul-Rahim, a year later, averaged 18.7 points per game.
I wouldn't have got that one. That wouldn't have been.
Allen Iverson, the most points per game as a rookie, going back to the mid-90s, 23.5 points per game.
The highest on your list.
Yeah.
Okay.
And both Abdul-Rahim and Iverson did it in the same year. The following year, 97-98, Tim Duncan, 21.1. Keith Van Horn, 19.7.
Were all of these, and in a year where it was multiple, the rookies of the year, let's denote that. Be interesting to find out if everybody that averaged 18 was also a rookie of the year. I know if one multiple did, they both can't be.
They both can't, right.
Yeah.
In 98-99, Vince Carter, 18.3 points per game. Like, I never would have guessed Vince Carter averaged that many points.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think 18. I Well, here's the thing. In my head, I had 18 as a threshold that would be difficult to get to, and evidently I was wrong. So in 99, 2000, and there's going to be a point to this in a second, but Elton Brand averaged more than 20 points per game. That was with the Bulls. Steve Francis did it with Houston at 18 points per game.
I don't remember that Steve Francis had 18 points.
Carmelo Anthony, 21 for Denver.
That's believable.
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah. LeBron James, 20.9. Durant at 20.3. That was in 2007, 2008. O.J. Mayo the same year, 18.5 points per game.
No, he didn't.
He did?
No. What happened to him? Was he injured? What happened to O.J. Mayo?
I think he just faded out of the league.
And he averaged 18 points as a rookie? So, was he the rookie of the year? Was he the only one that averaged 18 that year?
No. Yes, he was.
Was he the rookie of the year? I got to look this. I got to write these names down.
2008, 2009 NBA rookie of the year. Here's one. I guarantee that you never would have guessed. I think I would have because I was blown away when he did it. In 09, 2010 for Sacramento, Tyreke Evans averaged 20.1 points per game.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. All okay. Right. What? Blake Griffin did it, 22.5 points per game for the Clippers.
He was very, very good.
Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard, Karl Anthony Towns, Embiid, Donovan Mitchell, Luke, in more recent years here, Luka and Trae Young in the same year. Zion averaged 22.5 points per game, but he only played 24 games. Anthony Edwards, 19.3. Paolo Banchero, 20. And Victor Wembanyama, 21.4 points per game. Thanks to StatMuse, by the way, for all of this. So if all of these players can do it, I think Cooper Flagg, 18 points, is certainly a thing that can happen.
Well, it's definitely this. You've given credence with your history lesson here that it's very doable, and it's not some holy grail. He was not
the rookie of the year. OJ Mayo was not.
He finished second. Brooke Lopez finished third, and your runaway winner with 111 first place votes was Derrick Rose.
Oh, certainly, yeah, and he's not on the list.
Nope.
18 points per game.
He did not.
He's probably a guy.
He had 16.8 that year.
I think I would have guessed that he was one of the guys to average that many points. And to expand this a little bit more, right? So, you know, clearly we think he can get to 18 points. Can he get to 6-plus rebounds? If he does both of those and the Mavericks just win their division, it's 65-1.
I think the rebound's attainable.
Do they have too many big guys that they'll be playing?
Well, can they stay healthy? I'd take that one.
65-1?
Yeah, why not? For a few dollars.
You want to do that in the pizzeria?
Can we put it in the pizzeria for 20 bucks?
We can recommend it for sure, yeah. Fire away on that one.
And then we can track it. We can track that.
It'd be fun to look at for the entire year.
Yes.
I mean, here's the thing. You got to love the guy's motor and his overall game.
I do like his heart, too. I do like the way he bounced back off the injury in the ACC tournament. I thought he was a good leader. We do have a short sample, though, on these kids. We talk about guys that played 3 and 4 years in college, and then you're trying to predict kids that are 18 and 19 years old in the pros.
Good point. All right, I think we got to fire up first bet here.
Oh, okay. That kid that you mentioned for Sacramento was the rookie of the year that year.
Okay.
Betting on sports, why not try the races? First bets let you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks, not only across the United States, but all around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, STBET.com. Use the promo code, don't forget the code, VSEN200, to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, and that's up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today.
All right, follow the money here on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Palma's in for Paulie Howard this week. Paulie is out on vacation. A lot to get to in the final hour of the program. Lou Finocchiaro a little bit later on, as you mentioned him, with Best Bets UFC 317 coming up this weekend. We'll get into the one Major League Baseball game still on the slate. And I think this award is far from over. And I was pleasantly surprised by ESPN's decision for something that's going to happen this summer. Do You Concur is next.